Joining us now is the director of the Chapel Hill Public Library, Susan Brown. And thanks for joining us on what is now an ordinary Wednesday, because you're here.
Yes, thanks for having me. And we're just going to talk about books. We aren't going to make anybody write papers about
them. We're not going to make anyone write papers, no. Although
should
if you want
there?
To, what?
Should I have gone there?
You did.
Looking
it's
for
fine.
A segue.
Yeah, it's fine. it's a very busy day, but we're talking books. And while the Weinstein Report is sort of dominating our coverage today, of course, taking a look at sort of the national news scene, everyone is talking or has been talking, for better or worse, about Ebola for the last couple of weeks, months. I don't
Yes.
even know how long. I think the best line that I've heard about the conversation in the U.S. in the last couple of weeks has been fear Ebola, which is
fear Ebola,
because there's not an epidemic. There's probably not going to be, and yet everyone is just very, very anxious about
it. Is that
it.
A hashtag out there on the Twitter?
I think it is.
It should
it
be.
Might be. Yeah.
Fear Ebola.
Yeah.
I like it. I mean,
anyway,
I don't like it, but I like the
it,
way you're
yeah,
thinking about
like
that.
The hysteria around,
yes.
like, oh, one person with this disease happens to land on a plane, and all of a sudden we've got to throw the
right.
whole country into quarantine. But we were thinking about this, and we come up with a topic for our book recommendations every single week. And we thought, well, we started to think about Ebola, and then we decided to extrapolate out and make it about medicine, doctors, hospitals, plagues, disease, sickness,
mine are all about Ebola. No, they're
really?
Actually not.
There's
no,
okay.
no. Disease, illness, yes. But
yeah.
that was a really good segue. We're
yes.
getting better at our segues, right?
Yeah.
I'm
going to
go first, okay?
Okay, good. Go
Here's
for
the
it.
Book in the vein of hashtag fear Ebola that you should not read right now.
Was vein a pun?
What's that?
Was vein a pun just then, or
vein a pun?
Yeah.
Pun?
Was vein a pun in the vein medicine hospitals?
Oh,
apparently
it wasn't.
Not.
Continue You're way
on.
Ahead of me.
All right.
So
when you ask someone, "Were you?" I see what you did there, and they're like, "I have no idea what you're talking about."
It just took me a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. And scene. Here we go. Here we go. So I'm going to start with a recommendation for a book that I don't recommend that you read right now. How's
okay,
that?
Good. Go for it.
The Hot Zone by Richard Preston was a big book in the 90s and
yes.
was turned into a movie. I think Outbreak was based on it.
Yep.
So it was.
As well as a TV movie called The Hot Zone, if I remember right.
That, right. Yeah, so that was, yeah. yeah. It was interesting because I thought, boy, if that's our prompt, what a great book to start out with. And I remember reading it when it came out, just flipping through it because it was this total page turner and really getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was looking around this afternoon when I should have been doing like real library budget
right. this is real
work.
Library
I was like,
work.
I'm going to do this. It's way more fun.
Yeah.
And I came across some really interesting pieces from folks saying, here's why you should not read The Hot Zone right now.
Okay.
And it's really, I mean, so at the time when it came out, it was nonfiction thriller, which was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about all of this. And it goes like, you know, to patient zero, and it
right.
goes and it leaps from like Reston, Virginia, and the U.S. Army Center for Diseases, and then it goes to Africa and the singular monkey and the cave,
yes.
where he traces it back. But you read about it now, and the author has even gone back and said, yeah, maybe I went a little too far. So
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
there's some overstatement. So
the
when
problem
you,
with the problem with a nonfiction thriller is that real life is often. You have to exaggerate real life.
Liberties
in order to make
were
it
taken.
Thrilling. Yeah.
So there's things like so I was going back and reading some of them and so there are kernels of truth in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I turned to it. I was thinking I was going to reread it because of what's going on, and I really don't want to because my favorite one was somebody pointed out there's a scene in there where a nurse is weeping tears of blood, and the author's like, "Yeah, that definitely didn't happen." So
great
don't
image,
read
great
like
image,
the first
yeah.
book about Ebola that comes to mind. Don't read that.
Don't
one.
Don't read it. Okay, but it's a good thriller. At the
it
very
was
least.
Right,
yeah.
right. Yeah. So maybe take the factual piece.
Okay.
Read it with a grain of a skeptical eye.
Yes. All right. Well, in that case, and now I'm trying to come up with recommendations all day long because our coverage for the last week has been we're thinking about the Weinstein Report, thinking about. So I sat down today trying to cover, you know, thinking about covering the Weinstein Report. I didn't have a list at all. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right.
Right.
I've got to come up with a list of recommended books about medicine and disease and sickness. Like I know one, I knew one, and I'm not going to say it yet. But now I'm coming up with a whole bunch. So. If you want, if you're a little bit wigged out about a nonfiction thriller about a very high profile disease, and you're a little bit wigged out about the fact that like he's skirting the line between fiction and nonfiction, how about a book in which the author makes it read like he's skirting the line between fiction and nonfiction, but in fact, it's just straight up a fictional book, and there's no bones about it. Michael Crichton, The Andromeda Story.
Oh, that's a great one.
And I just remembered that. Yeah. Because that is, I mean, it's a thriller. It's page-turning, heart-pounding. You don't know what's going to happen next. And even in the final pages, you don't know what's going to happen. And this is not a spoiler alert, because the entire book talks about is doing interviews with people after the fact. So in the back of your mind, you know this person survives, but you don't know that when you're reading it. And it's just it's probably the best thriller I think I've ever read.
That just went on my reread list,
yeah.
My TBRR list, my to be reread list.
Yes. So good. And that and Jurassic Park hooked me on Michael Crichton for a good 5 years.
Yeah.
Doesn't get better than that.
So sometime we'll geek out on book cover art, but the cover of Jurassic Park, remember, just the white and black, was groundbreaking.
Yes, it
was. That was a groundbreaking book cover. It'll be hard to do book cover art on the radio.
We're going to have to talk about nothing but new Penguin books, though, if we talk about cover art.
That's right.
Which actually follows up on the Jurassic Park cover art, because it's minimalistic and it's simple, and it just sort of captures everything in this very, very just abstract, simple image. But that was great.
Andromeda Strain.
Like, if you've not read it, read it. It's still a fun read today.
It is.
It holds up. Yeah.
So I'm going to flip back to two quick nonfiction books, because I trashed the Preston book in my opening.
That's good, because I knew exactly which nonfiction book I wanted to follow up with, and then you said nonfiction thriller. I'm like, ooh, fiction thriller. I got it.
All right.
But I've got a nonfiction book for you, so keep going with the nonfiction thing.
So the two nonfiction books that I want to mention briefly, one is The Great Influenza by John Barry. Mm-hmm. It is about the 1918 flu pandemic.
Yes.
I mean, it came out in the last 10 years. I think it won a big award, or it was a finalist, and it was really, it was just a really good book, very good, readable nonfiction, popular nonfiction, that goes back to, you know, I grew up, it's the flu, you know, it's just not a big deal. You're in bed for a week if you get it. And of course, now we know that people die every year from the flu, so you should get your flu shot.
Yep.
But this really gives context to how many people died in that, and how different the flu was then.
And in terms of 1918, you know, it's 2014. It's the 100th anniversary of the outbreak of World War
I. Right.
UNC is doing stuff. The Art Center is doing stuff. The whole, you know, everyone is commemorating this anniversary. World War I was a horrible, horrible war. The flu made it that much worse when
exactly.
it broke out. So many people died of the flu in 1918.
Yep. Yeah. So that was happening at the same time as the war. So that's a very nice framework for it. And then the other one that I mentioned, that I want to mention, that I had kind of forgotten about, that I had read, it's called The Ghost Map. And the subtitle is The Story of London's Most Terrifying Epidemic and How It Changed Science, Cities, and the Modern World. Mm. By Stephen Johnson. And it's one of those books, it's kind of like, and I love this, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, when a singular act by a singular character sets off this massive chain.
Yes.
Kind of. So for this, I think the equivalent is, and I don't know if this is actually a myth or truth, but is it Mrs. O'Leary's cow in Chicago?
Yeah.
So the ghost map opens in the 1850s, and it's working class London, and this poor working class lass in this filthy tenement dumps a bucket of soiled water out. And the author traces that as to the start of the cholera outbreak.
Oh, wow.
So it's really, it's again, it's narrative nonfiction, but it's not that sort of thriller going over the top. So what I also like about it is from then on, it focuses on a singular character. It's a doctor. His name is Jon Snow. Mm-hmm. And he is the sort of, he's taking care of the people, but he's also this groundbreaking scientist. And he's the first one to trace cholera to water, that it spread through water. So if you like nonfiction, narrative nonfiction, and you want to read about those kinds of things, it's a really good book that honestly I'd forgotten about till I started working on this.
And as soon as you're done with that book and you're still interested in narrative nonfiction and you want a story about how a community deals with a disease, especially a new and unknown one, move up the timeline 130 years, and The Band Played On by Randy Schultz. which I was
glad you mentioned that one.
So good, so powerful. It follows an individual doctor, Don Francis, among others. I mean, it's such a huge cast of characters in this, and it is the definitive statement about the AIDS crisis in the United States in the first 6 years of the. Actually, it goes back further than that, and it's so comprehensive and powerful and amazing.
And I don't know if you and I were talking about this, or if they talk about it in the book, or if I was talking about this with somebody, but. Folks referred to AIDS as the plague.
Yes.
There's a contingent of folks who, when you refer to the plague, they don't think the black plague, the bubonic plague.
Right.
They think AIDS in the 80s.
Well, the documentary that just came out, How to Survive a Plague, which was about the early AIDS crisis.
Yep.
Yeah. So I read that. It is a long book, but it is so well worth reading. In terms of understanding that particular situation and also how we deal with disease in general, how competition works, how gays and lesbians are treated in America, there's so much that goes into it. That's my nonfiction recommendation. And I have to shout out to who was it on Twitter?
Yes.
Whitney Ellen B. Do you know who Whitney Ellen B.
No,
is?
No, but I know Eula Biss.
Yes.
The book that she recommends, and not the author's coming to Durham, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's called On Immunity. I'm familiar, with Eula Biss from, she has a series of essays that was when I was in Kansas, it was Kansas University's freshman read book where all the freshmen read it. So I know the author, but her new book is about the vaccination issues and the anti-vaccination movement. And I think it's sort of personal essays and cultural perspective based on her being a mother and to vaccinate or not to vaccinate, with some maybe science woven in. But the book has gotten very good reviews, and she's coming to Durham soon.
And I have to say, I know Whitney. She does stuff at DSI. I just didn't recognize the Twitter handle. But she recommended that book on immunity, and that reminded me, like, oh, yes, nonfiction. That's a possibility. And that's what reminded me to recommend In the Band Played On.
So I got no more nonfiction. I'm moving straight into fiction now.
As am I.
Okay.
Yep.
So, again, I'm going to offer a pair of books.
Mm-hmm.
Related, and one long, one short. So one of them,
one long, one short.
Look at us.
We're going to recommend the same two books.
That would probably be crazy.
One of these days, we're going to recommend the same book. I was really worried you would say And the Band Played On, actually.
Actually, I have to tell you, my husband texted it to me.
Uh-huh.
He's like, don't forget that one.
Yeah.
But
we didn't.
Right.
Yeah. Collectively, we didn't.
So one of my all-time favorite books that I love to recommend to people, especially if they think they don't like science fiction and they don't like time travel as a theme and they don't like historical fiction, I give them this book, and a lot of the times their minds are changed. It is a book called The Doomsday Book by an author named Connie Willis.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous science fiction author, and it's not super sci-fi. It's not robots and computers and all of that. It's time travel. So the premise of the book is it is Oxford, England in the 2025 or something. Time travel has been perfected, but it has been perfected by the historians.
Yes.
That's who's done it, not the scientists.
Yep,
so
yep.
There's a young graduate student, and she's going to take her first mission back in time. Everybody's sort of like, she's not ready. We don't know about her. She goes. She's supposed to be transported to a small village in England 30 years before the plague.
Okay.
The moment they push the button to send her back, in modern-day London, a flu pandemic kicks in. And they screw up, and they end up sending her to the middle of the plague. And she's stuck there. And in the meantime, they can't get her back because everybody's falling sick in modern days.
Right, right.
And it's a parallel story of what happens.
Oh, I like that.
It's
The Doomsday Book?
It's very long. The Doomsday Book by Connie Willis.
Okay, I'll check that out.
So
I still have this sort of half-serious theory that whenever we see aliens, those are actually just human anthropologists from the future.
When do you see aliens?
I don't, but we is in general. You hear about an alien sighting, it's like, we're just highly evolved human anthropologists that have developed time travel, and they're just coming back to study. Yeah. I'm probably wrong, but it goes along with that. Okay. That's enough of that.
So parallel to that, if you're not into the lengthy one and you're not into the time travel, but you like the historical fiction, there's a book called Year of Wonders by an author named Geraldine Brooks, who is amazing. she wrote People of the Book and Caleb's Crossing and several other ones. She's won many awards.
Yeah.
But it's set in the 1660-something, right mm-hmm. in the middle of the plague. There's a young widow who takes in a boarder, and he's a cloth merchant, I think, mm-hmm. and the clothing is infected with the plague.
Mm.
And that's how it spreads. Yeah. And then it goes into the questions about the cures and the sort of pointing fingers at the witches and the folks who survive and do they have magical powers. It's very short. It's very literary. It's a great book club choice.
Okay.
But yes, much like my fascination with circus folk, I like to read about the Black Plague.
Okay. Okay. Well, in that case, you will love my next recommendation, which is The Plague by Albert Camus. Which is another really good one. It's actually more of a parable about dealing with the Holocaust because it was written at that time. That's sort of the overarching theme. But the book is about a city in Algeria on the coast that gets infected with the plague. The city is closed down. They go into quarantine. And the book follows particularly a couple of people who sort of take it upon themselves to handle the medical care. One doctor and one, I want to say, he's a journalist who just sort of gets involved in treating people who are affected and infected by the plague, just sort of making sure that society continues to function and doesn't dissolve into mass chaos, which again is the parallel with the Holocaust and with fascism. But it's a really great book about the human condition because it's not about treating the disease. It's about how people react in the face of disease and illness and suffering.
Which is what many of these books mm-hmm. are all about.
Yeah, yeah. So that is one of my favorite novels. So definitely check that out. And then the last one is
yes.
a short story, which has little to do with medicine, but it's the second one that I thought of. And it is a story about how medical treatment can go wrong. And if you have never read it before, it is worth reading because it's only 10 pages long and it's a classic. Charlotte Perkins Gilman's
The Yellow Wallpaper.
Yes. Nothing to do with plague or disease, but a story about a treatment of mental illness that goes awry.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
So
only tangentially related, but worth recommending.
Well, mental illness is
yeah.
a disease,
yes,
so,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
Right? That's in that
yeah,
vein.
Yeah, definitely.
It's an illness.
Was that a pun?
No, that was not
a pun.
That
was still not a pun? Okay.
But here's where I was going to go. Before you mentioned that one,
mm-hmm.
you were talking about what happens in the wake of the plague mm-hmm. and keeping society from mm-hmm. falling apart. And you were talking about Camus. And when you talk about those things and mention Camus, I, of course, think Stephen King.
Okay.
Sorry, no.
No, I didn't say that. Yeah,
no,
definitely.
I'm a huge Stephen King fan. But the other one that I wanted to mention is The Stand.
Oh,
right.
Yeah,
really long.
Also really long.
Society falling apart in the wake
of good,
disease.
Yeah.
But it starts out with it's a weaponized strain of the flu and the army is involved and mm-hmm. all of that. So everything falls apart. The opening is great because there's the character who starts in the skyscraper in New York and he mm-hmm. gets out. And of course, now with The Walking Dead and all of those things,
right.
this is like
old
a trope.
Now,
yeah.
But still.
But he has to navigate all the cars that have been abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is, and the novel is sort of in three big chunks, is there's this band of survivors across the country, and mm-hmm. some align with the bad dude,
yep.
and some align with this great stereotypical wizened old lady
yes,
sitting
yes.
on the rocking chair, and she's the good,
yeah.
and then the final section is the ultimate battle
yeah.
of good and evil.
I like it. All right. So those are our recommendations on medicine, disease, plague, etc. It's a big, broad category, but I think we did well.
I think so. It was fun.
I think so, too. All right. So check all of those books out. And when you're done reading those, then that'll take you about a week. And we'll see you next week with a whole nother list of recommendations. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.